What I'd like to do with you today, Rav Osai, is try to more or less complete the topic of Hefsek Tahara, again, which would mean that we have learned Simen Kuf Tzadi Vav, Se'if Aleph, Beis, and Gimel. Right? That's basically what we are focusing on. The din of Hefsek Tahara, we pointed out already some of the requirements about how it's a din d'oraisa, etc. Today we'll go into a little more of the details of a Hefsek Tahara. Now, before we get into the details, let's just discuss one odd case. The Chavas Das in Simen, Kuf Tzadi Vav, Sif Katan Gimel, has a tremendous chiddush slash chumra. Okay? Zok the Chavas Das as follows. He says in Yisod that all bedikos are here for dam shelo bahargasha. That's the first Yisod of the Chavas Das, no? The fact is that the Torah tells us that an isha is only tameya min ha-Torah when she has hargasha, that we spoke about ad nauseam, right? We know about hargasha. But, so therefore, I could contend that maybe if a woman doesn't have a hargasha, so that's sufficient. That's enough to tell me that she is going to be tahira. Or maybe for a hefsek tahara also, maybe, right? Maybe for a hefsek tahara also, if I just pay attention, and I pay careful attention, and I know that I had no hargasha, there's no blood leaving, so therefore, maybe that is enough to count as a hefsek tahara. That, in fact, is the shita of the Noda Yehuda. But the Noda Yehuda, we spoke about how he was very makel, in theory, about bedikos, that maybe you don't need chorin ustakin. Right? We spoke about that Noda Yehuda. But the Noda Yehuda in Hefsek Tahara, Simen Nun Tesa Noda Yehuda says, Hefsek Tahara, that all you need to do is pay careful, complete, thorough attention, make sure that you're concentrating with Alei Kavanos, and therefore if there's no blood coming out, oh, that's my Hefsek Tahara. That's what the Noda Yehuda says. Big, big, big hula. The Chassam Sofer, and this, by the way, is quoted. You don't have to even look back in the Chavas Das or look in the Chassam Sofer. In the Pisrei Tshuva Sifkatin, where was it? Hey, on this din. The Pisrei Tshuva quotes this discussion in the Chavas Das and the Chassam Sofer. He doesn't quote the Noda Yehuda for some reason. Sifkatin Hey in the Pisrei Tshuva. His Chachuma says, well, according to the Chassam Sofer, Kavona doesn't help for Hefsek Tahara. Hefsek Tahara requires a full-fledged bedika. But during Zion Nikiyim, maybe we could suggest that Kavona helps. If I pay attention during Zion Nikiyim, I know that there's no Hargasha. Chassam Sofer says it's going to help. But our dear friend, Rabbi Yankiv Ben Yankiv, in the Chavas Das, Rabbi Jacob Loberbaum points out that since the din of bedikos and the din of hefsek tahara is above and beyond the requirement of hargasha, there's a general din of hargasha b'cholat ha'imah. That to be a need, to be tmeim, and that's how you need hargasha. But the fact is that the Torah also says, and he's assuming it's a din d'oraisa, so there's a din of hefsek tahara and a din of zayin nikiyim. That means more than just not having hargasha. The lack of hargasha doesn't prove anything. I need some real yediyah that only comes from bedikos. So the Chavas Das says that Hefsek Tahara and Zayin Nikiyin both require bedikos. You can't just do your mental complete concentration shtick. It's not going to work. That's what the Chavas Das says. Good? Yes.
What about the whole issue of maybe she felt it when she urinated, or how can you really be all the time when we had that old period?
So again, the Yehuda says that you have to, at the time of Hefsek Tahara, make sure you're not going to be urinating at those minutes. Spend half an hour and concentrate entirely, no hargasha, fine. What about the urination in general for Zion the Kiyam? Like if you urinate, maybe there's a problem. So what we spoke about beforehand is that Rashi maybe understands that that's a din only when you're holding in the urine, right? And there's some tzar. So if you make sure that you urinate on a regular basis, so you'll never have a possible masked hargasha. Right? That's what we focused on. Again, yeah.
What are you looking for?
I am making sure. Hefsek Tara means I'm not bleeding. How do I know I'm not bleeding? Concentrate.
And it's hargasha thinking?
So since there's no hargasha, the lack of hargasha, that is my Hefsek Tahara.
We assume that hargasha would last the entire time she's bleeding.
And the night of Yehuda's
Hargashas
if it's never left, so
it's endless. Right. Okay, good. We'll get there in a few minutes. Good. The night of Yehuda says that if I know for sure I don't have a Hargasha, that is going to do my trick. That's enough. Yeah, Yitzi.
And old blood?
And what?
Old blood.
So old blood, remember, we're not worried about by a Hefsek Tahara, especially because of the practices that we clean out the old blood before the Hefsek Tahara.
According to the Nagid also,
it could be I clean out the old blood, or the old blood is old, it doesn't matter. Right? The issue is there any new blood? Did my Re'iya stop? That's what Hefsek Tahara means. Like we said from the Aruch HaShulchan, so Din Doi Ra'isa, based on the Pasuk, that you, the, what was the Torah say? That after her flow stopped or something, then she counts. No, something to that effect. So that means that if I'm not bleeding, that's a Hefsek Tahara. That's all it is. I know I'm not bleeding. Right? Maybe what you're worried about that there's going to be some tumas mas or the dam inside the goof. So for that, maybe cleaning it out in advance that Hefsek Tahara works, perhaps. Or maybe we're not choshesh for that. So that those are like detailed issues. But fundamentally, Hefsek Tahara is there to make sure I'm not bleeding. I know I'm not bleeding. I have kavana. Kavana tells me I'm not bleeding. That's what the Note of Yehuda says. Chasam Sofer is masking during Zayin Nikiyam. Chavastas assumes that Kavana never helps whatsoever. Yeah.
The concern of having dam still inside her, I don't think is nearly as much a problem to Tara as it is for Tashmish afterwards.
Tashmish after just being dirty and bloody doesn't necessarily create an issue of dam. Right? The issue of dam, the tumas need is when the blood left.
No, but don't pass in that, that if a man sees on his edgar or they see it on the sheet.
That's a din of rasa dam achlas havish if we assume that the tashmish brought the blood out. But let's say
but we can't tell if it did or not.
Okay, so again, the basic issue is that we're not nervous about having blood inside you. We'll get rid of that blood somehow. We'll clean it out. We'll talk about the rechitza in a few minutes. That's Sif Gimel. We'll talk about the rechitza. But the point is, we have these three sheetas. Now, why is this so important? This is very important as follows. If you look in the Pisrei Tshuva, Sivkotin Hey, he quotes from the Chavistas, or if you want to look in the Chavistas itself, the Chavistas Sefer has a chiddush. He says, you know what, let's say a woman does a bedika all the time. And whenever she does a bedika, she finds blood on one particular place of that bedika cloth. What does that tell me? Okay, I'll make the case better. Not only does she feel blood only in one particular place, but it hurts her. When she goes around that one area, 43 degrees north, whatever, so she feels that there is pain. What? There's a maka there, right? Who said that? Right, good, right? There's a maka. You know there's a maka. What does a woman with a maka do about a Hefsek Tahara? A woman has a maka inside, some sort of cut, it's bleeding. Makas come in different forms. I'll have to discuss that at some other point. In terms of their makas that are mamish bleeding, their makas that we assume when they become moistened might leave some blood. There are different forms of makas. But a woman has a maka. What does she do about her Hefsek Tahara? You know what the Chavistas says? There's nothing she could do. Chavistas basically says that she is messed up. Because the din is that you need a full-fledged bedika. And the bedika has to be perfectly clean, says the Chavistas. Right? Even blood without hargasha is considered blood. for purposes of bedikas and hafsek tahara. Therefore, says the Chavis Das, right, im yesh lo makom, she is stuck. A woman, right, has a makom, so therefore, whenever she's doing that bedika, she's going to find some blood on it. Nebo, she's stuck. That's what the Chavis Das said. Now, the Chavis Das has even a bigger chiddush. This is talking about a woman who got a makom, let's say, when she's tameya. So we know she was a nida, she got a makom. Zakeh Chavis Das, even if a woman during her time of tahara gets a makom, right? Now, when a woman is tahara, so what's the big deal, right? She's tahara. Well, the din is, at some point, we know women all menstruate, right? V'chila olam lo tiradam, so that's like our din of onan beinoness, right? The din, right? We have halachos, so that we assume that at some point the woman will menstruate. Says the Chavis Das, even if a woman got a makkah at the time that she's tahara, still, right, once there's a makkah there, that means that the hefsek tahara isn't going to be perfectly clean. Her zayin nikim aren't going to be perfectly clean. Therefore, this woman has no eitzah. She is stuck. That's what the Chavis Das basically says. It's a tremendous, tremendous chumrah in the Chavis Das. Yeah?
According to the Chavis Das, would such a woman be able to go to a gynecologist that would be able to
review an internal bedikah? Okay, so now we're getting to the modern day issue. But just like before we get to, before we like speed up 200 years, right, the Chavis Das has this discussion. Some disagree with the Chavis Das in the case of a woman who gets a makkah when she's tahira, but a woman who gets a makkah when she's tamea, the Chassam Sofer would also say she cannot do a hefsek tahara. The Chassam Sofer would say that for bedikas of Zayin Nekiyim she could do through her mental concentration, focus, right? That counts as bedikah zayin nekiyim. But for hefsek tahara, it does not help whatsoever. This is the opinion of the Chavis Das, and the Chassam Sofer is masking for purposes of hefsek tahara. Yes. Hefsek tahara when she had the makkah during the time that she was tamei. Yeah.
According to Chavis Das, why can we apply the taliyah to this?
So the Chavis Das basically says that, first of all, you have to know that it says in Shulchan Aruch that we don't do Tzliyas during the first 3 days of Zayin Nekiyim.
Right.
Right? Point one. We learned that already. Moreover, the Chavis Das has this fundamental idea that Hefsek Tahara and the Bedikos have to be absolutely clean without any questions, and therefore the Tzliyas won't help us. It won't help her. She's still going to be Tamei'a. There is no Eitzah according to the Chavis Das.
Where did you get that idea from? That it has to be from perfectly clean.
So, the Chavis Das wants to say, since the din is that Yemei Nekiyim have to be Sefurim Ubedukin, so that tells me that it has to be absolutely Baduk, and that's even more than Nahargasha. You have to read the piece in Sifkat and Gimel. The way he says is that the Gemara knows it's a din of Hargasha already, and the Gemara still says it's a requirement of Nekiyim above and beyond Hargasha. Shiva Nekiyim and Hefsek Tahara, according to the Chavis Das, all have to be perfectly clean. So what can we do for this woman? Now again, if we would hold like our friend the Zichron Yosef, we have an Eitzah, no? Remember, the Zichron Yosef famously developed the idea, some of the Acharonim held the Zichron Yosef, most did not. The Zichron Yosef said that we could do a Hefsek Tahara simply based on Rov. No? That if I know that this woman only bleeds for 5 days, so Al Pi Rov, after 5 days, she's done bleeding. So therefore, that itself counts as a Hefsek Tahara. Now, it's clear that the Chavis Das himself doesn't hold the Zichron Yosef. Many don't hold like the Zichron Yosef. What can be done in these situations? So, not so pashut. It's not so pashut. There are really a few different eitzos. Today, what is done in these situations is that we go to a woman who is a bodeket tahara. No? We go to a bodeket. Now, a bodeket tahara is a woman who basically checks you to make sure that she is no longer bleeding. Now, there are different ways of doing this. And the question that has to be asked is, does a bodeket tahara have to do a bedika also when she checks the woman? You see, many of the poskim basically say, you know what, we're going to reject this Chavis Das. For the Chassam Sofer, you also need a clean hefsek tahara. But maybe for the Psalm Sefer, perhaps he's going to be a little more lenient. There is a whole discussion in Shuras Shai and other Shuvas Farim that for the Psalm Sefer, if you know that this one area is giving you down, giving you problems all the time, and you feel the pain, maybe you know there's a Makkah that's good enough. How do I know for sure there's a Makkah? I go to the Bodeket. The Bodeket checks the woman. She says that there is a Makkah right in this area. The Bodeket will tell you, is it a Makkah that's multi-dam? Is it a Makkah that could be multi-dam, etc.? Fine. Question. Does the Bodeket have to... I think one of the guys yesterday, Rafi, was I talking to you about this? Right. So, does the Bodeket have to actually check you with a cloth? Or does the Bodeket simply look inside with a speculum and see that you're not bleeding? In Rabbi Sabalovsky's book, the way he presents it is that the Bodeket just looks at you, he doesn't check. No? If you look in the many other Svarim, they write that the Bodeket is supposed to actually check. There's a certain type of check that is attributed to a tshuva for Rebbe Akiva Eger and Simon Sama. Rebbe Akiva, in a certain difficult case, basically said that you could do something similar to what they call the Bedika the Maharil on Simon Kuf Tzadi Aleph, which is that you put a Bedika cloth at the end of a tube, and you go all the way in, and you have that tube basically cover the external os of the cervix, right, the part of the cervix that goes into the vagina, the tube, it covers that area, so any blood that would come out would come on that cloth. You know, right, that there is no blood coming out, because that cloth is going to be clean. What about all of the chorinus documents of the vagina? So that, you're not really checking, or you're only checking visually. You're saying that the dam from over there maybe is dam from the makkah, because we know that there's a makkah there, and that's going to be okay. So one version of the Bodeket is that you check with the cloth. Another version of a Bodeket, by the way, a Bodeket is basically a nurse. We have one in Washington Heights. If anyone needs, I have her number. She's a tremendous tzaddikus. I've sent women to her like at midnight, and she has checked them, and I mean, it solves tremendous problems. If not for this, you can manage to be stuck. So Bodeket, one version that does a cloth. The other version is, and Rabbi Schechter told me that he felt this is sufficient, that she just looks with a speculum. She simply inspects you, sees that there is no dam inside. Rabbi Schechter told me that the Lashon of Chassam Sefer, in the truth, I didn't find this, that the Lashon of Chassam Sefer is v'chi einecha sham kol hazman. She like looking there the whole time. Does that mean you see, right, that's a Yiddish pun, you see that all you have to do is look there, and that is enough to serve as a bedika. I'm not exactly sure what they train the women to do when they train them in Israel, whether they train them to use a cloth or not. I think the woman here in the neighborhood very often does not use a cloth.
They use a long
Q-tip. They use a long Q-tip, similar to that Rebbe Akiva Eger idea. You put the equivalent of a cloth at the end of a stick, and you cover that area, or you do a bedika on every other part of the vagina besides where you know the makkah is, right? And that suffices as a bedika. The other version is just that you inspect it visually. Okay, so Zayin, this is the preferred method of solving the problem. This man has said that we go to a bodeket. Now, yes.
Are we assuming that this woman only has a makkah like for this, let's say, month or this time period, or let's say she could have this makkah for like a whole year?
Again, if a woman has a makkah for a couple of years, she should probably seek medical help. For real. But it could sometimes go on for a while, and every month she has to go to the Bodeket Tahara. She can't become Tahara without it. Right? It's a very difficult situation. Yeah.
You can't just assume that because the first time she checked me was fine, she went to the
Bodeket. Every month I need... Remember, a woman needs to do her Bodekos every month. Just because last month I didn't have a problem doesn't mean this month I don't have a problem. You have to check all the time. Yeah.
Bodekos is just checking to make sure there is something to attribute
that blood to. She can check to make sure there's something to attribute the blood to. She finds the makkah, and she can also do the bedika for you. Now, what we do in this situation of a bodeket is, okay, big kula, huge kula, but it's a chazanesh. So, I used to tell people that when you find the kula on the chazanish, you have to rely on it, because he's machmir in so many things. You find one kula, it's like an Erev, no? It's a chiyuv to rely on an Erev, because the chazanish is mekel, so of course you have to rely on it, no? Most people don't follow me on this one, then. But the point is, so when you go to a bodeket, what do you do? So what is the minimum amount of bedikas that are required? It could be a huge pain. You have to go to a woman, she's going to inspect you. So usually we assume that you do hefsek tahara, right? In the minimum situation, you do hefsek tahara. You do bedika day one and bedika day seven. The chazanish has a big kula that we rely on in extremely bedievit situations like this. Sometimes. That the chazanish says, you know what, you go to the woman, let's say you're going to do hefsek tahara, today's Monday, you do hefsek tahara Monday night. So you go to the woman right before Shkia on Monday, and she does the Hefsek Tahara for you, and she continues looking there, she leaves that cloth inside until after nightfall. After nightfall already, Monday night is halakhically Tuesday. The Chazon Ish says, a kula, that even though usually bedikas have to be done during the day, b'diyeved, he's going to rely on the Rashi that we'll learn probably on Wednesday, that bedikas saliva also helps. So therefore, hefsek tahara, and it extends into the night, that's going to be the one time you go to her. You also go to her on day seven, and that's it. You go to her twice, and you are gevaldik. Yes?
I'm just wondering.
We'll get you to you in a second, though, here.
I'm just wondering why. I thought that shita applies the principle of rove, so maybe I can apply it here.
Yeah, the Rov Shita would help, but that Rov Shita, that Zichron Yosef, is not accepted. And Zichron Yosef is like an interesting Shita, but it's kind of rejected.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, Noah.
How many times total should we have to go to the Bodeket?
Twice.
What about the Hefsek Tahara and then the first day?
The Hefsek Tahara and the first day, you're going to do the Bodeka for day one right after Hefsek Tahara. They're going to be done. So you stay there for half an hour, okay. 40 minutes. But instead of going, you don't have to make three appointments to the nurse, you make two appointments.
It doesn't mean you sit there the whole time, it means you have a trip.
The same trip.
Not sitting there with her looking at you for 45 minutes.
No, right. It's the same trip.
Correct.
Or, by the way, this also comes up, women who have certain devices inside their body, a diaphragm, for example. We assume that you have to take out the diaphragm before you do the bedikos. You take it out twice, l'chora. But maybe diaphragms are more complicated. NuvaRings. Different methods of birth control, yeah.
Is this something mainstream in, reasonably sized Jewish communities that they have to
there? I don't know. Washington takes a zocha to have one. There's a Berea's woman who really does that. Many communities don't. Rabbi Simon, until he knew about this woman in the Heights, used to send women to Borough Park all the time for this. There aren't too many. I don't know if it's like a common thing. It's a very important thing that communities should have, because at Mamish, sometimes there's no other way to solve the problems.
Would that involve, like the OX said?
I mean, they are. In Eretz Yisrael, they're trained. Again, some of the Yoatzot who are nurses also trained to be both coats. You have to have a little bit of medical knowledge. Every Yoatzot has a little medical knowledge also. But you have to be trained. Yeah, you have to be trained as a nurse to know what to do, to know what to look for, to know whether it could bleed or not bleed. Yeah. You have to know what you're doing. Yes?
A lot of them don't know. They're not like halachic.
No, right. They don't pass me shadows. Like, the one in town will always tell me, I saw an ectopia. I'm like, okay, what's that? I don't know. So then she explains in like layman's terms what she saw. So I say, okay, so what does that mean? She says, well, you're the rabbi. You have to figure that out. I'm just telling you what I saw. Right? They'll tell you exactly what they saw, and then you figure it out. Again, these are cases. Sometimes you send a woman, and you see a woman is having difficulty becoming tahora. She's had many bedika cloths that come bad with a problem. This is why it's also important to have a single rav who you ask your shilas to, no? If you're asking one shilah to here, one shilah to here, so every rav's going to say, it's a problem, it's a problem. If the same rav sees a woman that's had three problems, 3 days in a row, and so then, you could send her to the Bodeket Tahara. You know the whole situation. Or if you, right, it's important not to shop around, because shopping around, you could end up hurting yourself. Yeah?
Two things. One is that when we send the day one, just a clarification, we're saying that she actually is doing two bedikos, just one right after another. Okay.
Or if you hold that it's a visual thing, two visual inspections.
Right,
yeah.
Okay. And the other thing is, even especially with visual, I still don't understand how that can. It can tell us that there is a maka that gives off blood, but it doesn't tell us that there's no other dam there.
But I'm looking to see that there's no other dam. The woman is taking her speculum. She's looking inside. She sees you are not bleeding. There is the endometrial lining is completely intact. Nothing is coming off.
That she's doing get that maka is bleeding.
The maka, right. I see there's a maka, and I see that you're not bleeding anywhere else. Right? That's a visual inspection. Okay. Now, okay, we got to pick up the speed. This discussion between the Noda Yehuda and the Chassam Sofer, the Noda Yehuda assumes that even for Hefsek Tahara, a concentration counts as a bidika, right? That's what Noda Yehuda says, that, oh, I just concentrate, that's a bidika. Chassam Sofer says it doesn't help for Hefsek Tahara, it's how you need a bidika, but for Zayin Yakin, Kavana works. So Rabbi Forst points out in his Sefer, page 155, Ha'aras 7, that maybe this machlokis is lishit hasan in terms of what exactly is hargasha. Remember, the Noyv Yehuda says that hargasha is our dear friend, Zivas Dabarla. Right? According to the Chassam Sofer, our hargasha is basically a psichas hamakar. Right? Now the Chassam Sofer also adds a different type of hargasha in terms of hargasha very intense, feeling like they have to urinate in a different tshuva, but the basic hargasha point of the Chassam Sofer is psichas hamakar. Memela, I could say like this. According to the Chassam Sofer, if I have a hargasha that's a psichas hamakar, how often do you feel psichas hamakar? L'chora, you feel psichas hamakar one time, and that one hargasha carries you through for the entire time that the blood is flowing. You do not have a hargasha at every moment of the flow. If the hargasha is psichas hamakar, presumably, and this is something that Rabbi Schechter has in his Ginas Egos, and Rabbi Wolik has in that article, they quote it from a Macheshes, but just Svare indicates that a hargasha if hargasha is psichas pi hamakar, so one hargasha, and that carries me through for the entire flow. However, if hargasha is zivas davarlach, so then the hargasha is going to be a constant thing, whenever I feel it. So l'chora, according to the Chassam Sofer, during perhaps a tahara, that's not going to help me. Why? Because hefsek tahara, I used to be bleeding until now. If I'm concentrating, I don't feel anything, but that doesn't do anything for me because I don't feel anything now. But the fact is, I felt something at the beginning of this flow. I have to ascertain that the flow stopped. Just because I feel nothing now doesn't mean that it's not flowing, right? Doesn't mean that it's not a din of nida. During Zayin Nikiyim, however, once I know that's my Yonah Sosum, I know that the Piha Mukher has closed, so then the Kavana helps to make sure that it didn't reopen. But according to the Noyv of Yehuda, that the Pshat in Hargasha is a Zivas Davar Lach. So Zivas Davar Lach is something you feel all the time. Oh, now I don't feel Zivas Davar Lach about it. Right? So this might be a Lashitaso Machlokis between the... this might be a Lashitaso Machlokis between the Noyv of Yehuda and the Chassam Sofer. Now, this issue, by the way, as to whether it's enough... Do I need a bedika when there's a maka inside or not? So Reb Fiva Cohen in the Biurim, in the Sefer Badei HaShulchan, in one place, if I could find it in my notes where I wrote down the page. Reb Fiva Cohen writes that he thinks that you actually need a real bedika because the Gemara says, if dam makosas mishunam midam ri'iyasa, so then she's going to be Tumeya. In other words, he says that you really need a bedika in all the areas to make sure that the blood is exactly the same color. That's what he writes in the Biurim. I find this a little bit difficult because, especially Bezman Hazeh, that we don't distinguish between various shades of red, I can't imagine that anyone would have the expertise to distinguish this, so I don't fully understand that issue. Fine. Let's continue. There is a discussion in the Chazon Ish. The Chazon Ish in Simen Pei Aleph. And we also saw the Chazon Ish in Simen Sadi Beis of Katin Chaf Aleph. In both places, the Chazon Ish tells us a Yesod that women, when they menstruate, do not bleed the entire time. They bleed and then they stop a little bit, and then they bleed and they stop a little bit. over a course of a few days they are bleeding, but it doesn't mean that the blood is constantly coming out. That's the yisod of the Chazon Ish, which, to the best of my knowledge, is absolutely correct. Right? It's absolutely correct that they don't bleed the entire time. Therefore, says the Chazon Ish, that when I am doing a Hefsek Tahara, my job is to make sure that what I have is a real Hafsakas Hadam, that the blood mamish stopped completely. Hefsek that is called Itiyis, it's just a temporary stoppage, or if a Hefsek is Manis, it's a very small stop, that doesn't prove that the woman is no longer bleeding. Because when women are bleeding, they're not bleeding the entire time. So right now, at 11:28, it wasn't bleeding. Grace a Glick, it doesn't matter. She's going to be bleeding again at 11:29, 11:30, because that way it's always working. Right? That's what the Chazon Ish says. Consequently, the Chazon Ish has a yesod in Simen Pei Aleph, which he doesn't really define. The Chazon Ish writes that a woman should not do bedikos one right after the other. Very often we recommend that women should do their Hefsek Tahara. It says in Shulchan Aruch, like some of Lebein Hashmashos, right? Around half an hour beforehand. And one of the rationales of doing the Bedika around half an hour beforehand is because you'll do a Bedika. If it comes out to Meya, what you'll do is another Bedika, right? And it's not uncommon that women will do two, three, four Bedikas until they get a good Hefsek Tahara. Says the Chazon Ish, he thinks that's not going to help. Because if I do one bedika right after the other bedika, that doesn't prove that what I have is a real stoppage. Maybe what I have now is just a hepsic that is ETS. I just have a very temporary stoppage. And that doesn't prove anything. That's the yisod of the Chazon Ish in Simen Pei Aleph. For Bible Cohen in the Badei HaShulchan points out that he thinks this Chazon Ish, the fact that Stimas HaPoskim, everyone in the history of the world has been doing Hefsek Taharas for a very long time, and it's not at all uncommon for one to try to do one, two, three, right? No one said it was a problem until the Chazon Ish. That seems to indicate that, in fact, according to the Chazon Ish, that we really do not hold like the Chazon Ish. That's basically what Reb Fivel Cohen says. Nevertheless, there are some Poskim who recommend that you should have a certain amount of delay between the bedikos. Reb Moshe Feinstein in the Tshuva writes that after, I think it's in Chelek Beis Yerideya Simen Ayin Aleph or Simen Ayin Tes, I forgot which one. Reb Moshe writes in the Tshuva that a woman who douches, a woman who does an internal washing of the Oso Makom, should not do a bedika for 15 minutes after. Rabbi Sabalovsky in his Sefer contends that therefore the same is true that after one bedikah I shouldn't do a second bedikah for a total of 15 minutes. So you really have to cheshbon out in terms of the amount of time that you need to do your hefsek tahara, cheshbon out, well, you know, if I'm going to wait 15 minutes between them. Rabbi Willig writes in his notes on Rabbi Sabalovsky's Sefer, no? That 5 minutes is enough. And l'maisa me'ikar hadin, even less than 5 minutes, even right away, would also be sufficient. Rabbi Forst, in his Sefer, quotes from various poskim. Some say 8 minutes, some say 3 minutes. And he writes in the footnote that, by the way, none of these shiurim, it's unclear what the basis of these shiurim is. We really don't know. But fundamentally, me'ikar hadin, we assume that the fact that no posek until the Chazon Ish mentioned this idea that you can't do one bedika right after the other, that would seem to indicate that that's not an accepted shita, and l'maisa, b'diyeved, it would be acceptable. So b'diyeved, if a woman, it's a minute before shkia, 2 minutes before shkia, she did a hefsek tahara, there's a spot on it. You got to be careful, by the way. You got to be careful. Because we're going to tell you, do another hefsek tahara, maybe it's going to be clean. L'maisa, it's likely that by doing one hefsek right after the other, you could end up irritating yourself. Right? That's really the difficult balance in these situations. You have to know yourself. You have to know the situation. But technically, if you do a hefsek right after the other one, l'maisa, we are going to assume that it is fine. Yeah.
Does this apply the other way around?
Yeah, so in terms of washing yourself, Rabbi Willig doesn't say beferish that he's arguing under Moshe over there. We'll talk about washing yourself separately I don't know anyone who befeirish argues under Rav Moshe, but again, I think all of the shiurim that they're given are kind of approximations or made up, if I'm less nice. So that's, it's really hard to know. Fine. Let's go on. Shulchan Aruch in Se'if Beis tells us that, or Se'if Aleph tells us that ordinarily I do a Hefsek Tahara, which we explained is a very thorough Bedika, and it's a good idea to do a Moch Dachuk. No? Moch Dachuk, the Lashon of Shulchan Aruch in Se'if Aleph, is La'olam yilamed adam lehachmir lechatchila. It's a chumrah to do a hefsek tahara with a moch dachuk. Right? That's the pashtus in Shulchan Aruch, that you do hefsek tahara with moch dachuk. Right? But it's a chumrah. That's what it says in Sif Aleph, is that this is a chumrah. Sif Beis in Shulchan Aruch says that the woman is ra'asa yom echad. If she has a Re'iyah, that is only a single day of a Re'iyah, Yom Echad Bilvad, so then she needs a Moich Dachuk Me'ikar Hadin. The Ramah in Sif Beis basically says, B'di Eved, a B'dika Somach Lebein Hashmashos helps. Meaning to say like this, in Sif Aleph, we assume that if I've been bleeding for a few days, so b'diyevet, a b'dika that's done in the morning helps. Moich dachuk is just a chumrah, right? And b'diyevet, b'dikas chakras helps. That's what the Rambam says here. However, in the Sif Beis, if it's been a one-day flow, so b'diyevet has to be some of lebein hashmashos, right? A bedikas chakras will not help even to the eved. What that means, according to the Dogomei Revava, is that the only time it will help on the one-day flow is after Mincha Ketana. That's what the Dogomei Revava writes here on the side of the page. It's quoted in the Pesachim Tshuva somewhere also. Yeah, Pesachim Tshuva, Sivkot and Beis. Lav davka bedikas chakras doesn't help, but anything samach lo mincha koshaisa kodem mincha ketana doesn't help Yom Rishon. That is what it says in Shulchan Aruch. So let's take these dinim apart very slowly. Sif Aleph says Moch Dachuk is just a chumrah. Sif Beis says that Moch Dachuk, when it's been a one-day flow, it's required Me'ikar Hadin. By the way, FYI, Shulchan Aruch sounds like Hefsek Tahara and Moch Dachuk are done one and the same. No? The Lashon of the Mechaber, this is a point that Rav Wozner makes in the Shevet HaLevi, is that shetehei boidekas biyom hefsek taharasa bimoch dachok. She should do the bedika with a moch dachok. It doesn't sound like hefsek tahara and moch dachok are two separate things. Our practice is that we do hefsek tahara followed by a moch dachok. In other words, hefsek tahara is a thorough, careful bedika, but a bedika that goes to all the chorinu stakin. That is hefsek tahara. Moch dachok is afterwards, what we do is we insert a cloth in the osel makom, and we leave that cloth there from the time of shkia until tseis hakolchavim. Right? What's tseis hakolchavim? Tseis hakolchavim is the amount of time that you keep from Motzei Shabbos. I remember when I first got married, first time my wife did hefsek tahara right after married, so she asked me, Ezra, how long do you keep Motzei Shabbos? So I said, that's irrelevant. So she's like, what do you mean? Well, her Kala teacher told her that you should leave it in there for the amount of time to keep Motzei Shabbos. La Maisa, many poskim assume that that might be in a Sif Beis type of Moch Dachuk, which is required by Ikar Hadin. But in Sif Aleph, where it's only required as a Chumrah, so you should leave it in for a certain amount of time, but not the amount of time for Motzei Shabbos. In other words, Ramosha Feinstein himself, who is a champion of 72 minutes, right? And Ramosha from Motzei Shabbos held the 72 minutes. In the tshuva of Moch Dachuk, Ramosha says that in New York, 72 minutes equals 50. Right? happened to get that, like he looked out on his balcony, the Lower East Side, whatever it is. But the fact is, many poskim assume that if Motzei Shabbos, I hold a longer shiur Alz Chomer, in my shul, we don't have a Mayer for Motzei Shabbos until 47 minutes after. Me'ikra HaDin, Shabbos is over this time of year, 29 minutes after Shkia. Right? You add a few minutes of Tosefa Shabbos. Some people say 42 minutes, it's also a few minutes of Tosefa Shabbos, right? But L'maisa, from Moch Dachuk, when it is only a Chumrah, it would seem that there is no requirement to keep it the amount of time that you keep Matzei Shabbos. You don't have to leave it in for that long. To say that? Now, what? How long do you leave it in for? So it really depends. If a woman is feeling some discomfort, so a little bit of discomfort, leave it in, let's say, for 15 minutes after Shkia. If a woman feels no discomfort, you can leave it in, I would say, till half an hour after Shkia. Half an hour basically is going to end up being the Tzeisa Kulchavim of the Gra all year long. But these numbers are really approximations. And again, since in the situation when it's a Chumrah, so obviously, and this everybody says, Badi HaShokhan Sivkat L'Chav Aleph has this also, that in the situation when it's a Chumrah, you're uncomfortable, omit it. Don't do. I had a woman last week. So a woman, in my community does hefsek tahar, does moch dachuk with a tampon. For a bedika, you need a bedika cloth, but you can use a tampon for a moch dachuk. Standard. So a woman, the past 2 months that she did her moch dachuk, she had a shayla on it. So I told her, don't do moch dachuk anymore. So she said, well, how can I do moch dachuk? I'm like, listen, it's only a chumrah. It's only a chumrah, so don't do it. Right? It's creating problems for you. Don't do it. Right? I don't think it's rocket science. Many of the poskim say in the situation that she's worried, I mean, everyone says in the situation that she's worried, she's a kalkilatzma, that she'll mess herself up, so you just don't do the moch dachuk. I think this is standard Judaism. Yeah. Rafi.
What do you mean?
I think because she does the moch dachuk in a right, she does it in a way that she's already very sensitive. She's probably scratching herself.
If it's really a shashab dam, which
she's probably scratching herself. Right? I asked her, like, is it comfortable? She's like, no, it's never comfortable. Like, if you know it's uncomfortable, there is a taz anyway who says that every discomfort there might be a makkah. That's a more lamedisha discussion we'll get to at some point. But lemaisa, right? You're uncomfortable, and lemaisa it's causing problems. It's a chumrah, don't do it. Don't do chumras when it ends up interfering with other things. Fine. Now, our practice is not like what it says in Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch says that hefsekara and moch dachuk comes together. We don't do that. We do first a thorough bedika, then we do the moch dachuk after. We do a thorough bedika and we check it. We check it first. Why do we check it? Right, the woman does a bedika, chorin uzdakin, takes it out and inspects it. After she inspects it, she'll put a cloth in as the moch dachuk. You can use the same cloth if it's clean. If you want to use a different cloth, use a different cloth. Why does she check it? Rav Moshe Feinstein assumes that she's checking it because it's a requirement of spurin lefaneinu. But Moshe says that there's a din, that all Zayin Nikiyim, you have to know what you're up to. That's what we call sefurim lefaneinu. You have to mamish know what you're up to. How do I make sure I know what I'm up to? Right? If I wouldn't check it beforehand, I wouldn't know if that hefsek is good or not good. Then I wouldn't know if right, everything that follows. So to make sure it's spurin lefaneinu, Moshe says, you have to check it beforehand. Reb Chaim Cohen, basically in the Biurim, in the Badei HaShulchan, thinks that this pshat, I don't think he quotes the Eves Moshe by name, but he quotes, some people say it's based on spurin lefaneinu, he doesn't think that's a pshat. Because if it is spurin lefaneinu, let's say I am not sure what day it is, because I have a shayla. I send a shayla to the Rav. And I don't know, is Rav going to say Tomei or Tahar? So I know two possibilities. You see, that's the amazing thing. Like in our yeshiva, we realize this more than other yeshivas. Humans are capable of thinking about two different possibilities. Right? Im tinsalayim, this bedika is no good, so it's going to be day one. this next Vedika. Instance of Vedika was good. It's going to be day five, right? People can think in those terms. Not so difficult, right? So, Memela, right, that's still considered Skirma Fanenu. Because even in the situation of Suffolk, we consider it Skirma Fanenu. So how can you check it beforehand? Zakhar 5, no, very partial. You check it beforehand because if it's no good, you want to do the Bedika again to make sure it will be good. Again, against that Chazon Ish, you could do one Bedika followed immediately by the other Bedika. That's what the postgame is saying. Now, the way we do Maich Dachok is that we simply put a cloth into the Osel Makom. We just insert the same Bedika cloth, insert another one. That's what we do as Maich Dachok. If you look in the Chavistats, in Simin, Kuvtzani Aleph, Sifkotin Ches, the Chavistats has a Yesod. He says that, you know what? First of all, what does Moch mean? Who wants to translate the word Moch? What? Louder?
Feather?
Feather, no. A wad of cotton is a moch. Moch is a cotton wad, no? A moich dachuk is a cotton wad that is dachuk, which means it stuck in. It's wedged in. That's moch dachuk. But what we have now, the way Rabbi Willing says it, is neither a moch nor is it dachuk. No, we're not using, if you use a tampon, it's taka a moch. But if you use a bedika cloth, it's not a moich. And it's also not the hook because it's not stuck in. You just leave a cloth inside. That's what we do. It's not moch, it's not the hook. The Chavistas has a yesod in my Shulchan Aruch, it's on page Nun. So he says, when we say in Shulchan Aruch that you should use a moch dachuk because this is a bedika shemotzi emidei kol safek, mayri sheminicha chutz lorechem gam kol moch harbe, umi bachutz vaday diyichol lechassas kol beis hator, vishu bevaday amadam hayinofa afilom hayiyorig, deastakim mikol makam, bemoch shebachutz hayilol lehimatzei dam, gam mitzchila bodekes atmachol, astakim achorim, etc. In other words, he says, the Chavistas says two things. He says, first of all, she does a thorough bedika beforehand, and then afterwards, says the Chavistas, she sticks many cloths into the Osel Makom to fill that entire area, so that any dam that could possibly be there, it's not shayit that you'd miss a spot. That's what the Chavistas is saying in Kuf Tzadi Aleph, Sifkatin Ches, no? Rabbi Kiva Eger assumes that the technical moch dachuk is a cloth that covers the external os of the cervix, so that, again, any dam that comes out would end up exactly on that cloth. We do neither a moch dachuk of the Chavistas, nor a moch dachuk of the Rabbi Kiva Eger. Therefore, Rabbi Fayel Cohen in the Badei HaShulchan has a kasha. He says, I understand in a case where the moich dachuk is just a chumrah. So fine, it's just a chumrah. So what we do is like it approximates in some sense. We just put a cloth in, it approximates the real din of moich dachuk in some sense. But in a sif beis case, if you're seeing blood for only a single day, so then moich dachuk is required, me ikar hadin. So how is it that what we do suffices? That's what Fivel Cohen's taina. Right? Because what we have, the love this moich dachuk is supposed to be molting day called safek. Right? That any blood that would come out would end up on it. If I just have a cloth in there, so that cloth stays there for a while. It could be this area, that area. If it's moich wedged in, holds the entire area, so there's no possible dam that came out unless it's on the moich. But if it's not wedged in, so maybe some dam is coming out and you missed it.
Maybe in a family doesn't. Nobody has other than a tipakol cheek who has a one day.
But that, what you're saying is that maybe at the time we're missing something means that we're defeating the whole purpose of moch dachuk. The whole purpose of moch dachuk is shezuha bedika motziya midei kol safek. There's no safek whatsoever.
So I'm saying the one that we're doing is always mechumra.
But in a situation when it's sif beis, let's say I have a case where
the kasha from minhageinu is only in the case.
And Elchanan, so Minhagin was fine in the case it's only a Chumrah, Gevalik. But even a woman who, let's say, has a one-day flow, again, we haven't discussed how that is possible yet, we'll get there, but even in the case a woman has a one-day flow, still, our practice is that we do a Maich Dachuk just by sticking a cloth in. Vasef is a Chor, it's against the Chavistas, it's against Rabbi Kiva Eger, it's not a Moch, it's not Dachuk, it doesn't do anything. The Nesiva says like this. If you see one day, you have to do this. Even if you see many days, according to Chavos Das, you also have to do a super duper moch for a different reason that we'll get to in 2 minutes. Right? Yeah. And as if I'm choshish for the nesivos, I always need this type of moch dachok. Maybe we could say we're not choshish for the nesivos, right? Okay. So Reb Faiva Cohen and others point out that if you look in one of the Rishonim in the Sefer Hachinuch, Mitzvah Reish Zayin, Sefer Hachinuch says, "How do I do moch dachok? Do a bedika with a cloth, stick that cloth in afterwards. That counts as a moch dachok." You get an impression that a cloth is good enough, a chaticha span, that you don't need what we call. Now, the Chavos Das, blah, blah, blah. Let's go on. Sif Beis is different than Sif Aleph. Sif Beis says that there is a requirement. If I have a one-day flow, there is a requirement for a month dachok me'ikar hadin. Now, problem. Women, in Metzias, don't believe for only one day. So that's a minor kasha. Okay, let's say Metzias, fine. Let's say she bled for one day. But even if a woman did bleed for one day, our practice is that we don't do a hefsek tahara until after 5 days, no? Because we're not paleta shechazer is something that we'll talk about beginning next week. So how do I ever have this case of rasa yoy mehod? How do I ever have a case of a woman who sees blood on a single day? Whenever I see blood on a single day, l'cha ora, I'm not going to do hefsek tahara just then. I'll do hefsek tahara 5 days later. Once I'm doing hefsek tahara 5 days later, that ends up being a sif aleph situation where, right, the moch dachok is a chumrah, not the sif beis situation where it's me'ikar hadin. That's the kasha that everyone asks. I know, I know 4 answers, I'll only give 3 answers to this kasha. Yeah.
She's not available. In this case, she's not. They don't actually have 5 days.
So maybe there's some strange situations that you don't have to hold her the 5 days because we're not worried about Polat Shafazer. She couldn't have been with her husband anyway for halakhic reasons. Okay, that fine, right? Right. That case. Right. Sometimes there are rare occasions that there's no concern for Poletus. That could be one of the answers to this kasha. Fine, Anachanami. By the way, one of the answers to the kasha, when there's no concern for Poletus, is the Tyrus Hashlamim here. I think it's Sif Katin Chow. Tyrus Hashlamim Sif Katin Hey says that we're talking about a kala. A kala. Remember, women before they get married, presumably they're not going to be poleta shechazer. They haven't been with their husbands yet. Now she's doing a hefsek tahara, etc. So the Torah Shalom says that by a kala, when there's no concern of poletas, so then you could do the hefsek on day one. Yeah, but 1 day flow, you're still not going to wait 5 days. That's what the Torah Shalom says. Yeah.
Maybe question.
The question is basically that we're talking about a woman who has a flow of 1 day. A one-day flow. Now, a one-day flow, and then I'm going to do a hefsek tahara that same day, so then moch dachok is required. But we paskin that if I have a flow for 1 day, I don't do the hefsek tahara that same day. I still have to wait until after 5 days to do hefsek because of a concern, poleta shechazer, that we'll figure out next week what it means exactly. So how do we ever have this situation? So one approach, the Torah Hashem says kala. By the way, the Shach himself in Sifkat Nuchaf assumes that even by a kala, we have to wait 5 days. Not at all simple. That answer 4, 3, whatever it is, will help. Another answer that's given by the Paiskim is the Shach here in Sifkat Nuchaf, no? The Shach in Sifkat Nuchaf says that we're talking about an Isha who has a Re'iyas Yom Echad Toch Zayin Nikiyim. She's counting her Shiva Nikiyim, and she has a single flow. She has a flow for 1 day. Now the Shach is very careful to point out that we're only talking about a woman who had a flow for 1 day. If it's a Kesem, so then there is absolutely no requirement for Moch Dachok at all. The Shach assumes, by the way, okay, let's get this straight. Shach holds that when a woman has a kesem, you never need moftachot. If a woman just finds a stain on her undergarments, if it's stain is tmeya, you never need moftachot. You need hefsek tahara, but you don't need moftachot on the kesem. However, if you have a re'iya of yaynechot, a flow for one day, and it's toif zayin nekiyim, which means that the couple couldn't have been together beforehand for halakhic reasons, right? Because she's Tumeya. So Re'iyos Yom Echad, Tov Zayin Nekiyim, right? Not a Kesem, that's what the Shach says. The Chazon Ish, in a few places, has a different answer. And there's a Torah Hashlomim, if you want, in Sif Katin Yud Gimel, who says the same type of idea. You know what? Zok the Chazon Ish. The din of poleta shechva zera means that I can't begin Zayin Nekiyim until 5 days have elapsed. However, I could do my hefsik tahara on Monday and begin my Zayin Nekiyim on Friday. I can separate the hefsik tahara, yet usually this is like a radical idea, no? Usually hefsik tahara is day zero. And then you start Zayin Nekiyim. Tomorrow's day one. No? That's a normal understanding. Zok the Chazon Ish. No, you could stay a long time on day zero. Right? I could be on day zero for day zero, day zero, day zero, day zero, day zero. Ah, and then day one is going to be 5 days later. Why would anyone want to do this? I'll tell you why.
You could be like on a boat or something, you know, you don't know.
Right, so you could be on a boat, we could be creative. Or, I'll tell you, there's certain minhagim that a woman, during her flow, doesn't do certain things. But after the flow, she does these things. For example, there are minhagim in Aruch Haim Simen Peches about not going to shul, no? In our communities, I think we don't have these minhagim. These are all minhagim that came from Hasidei Ashkenaz, Sefer Rokeya. I've forgotten the name of the book. Rabbi J.J. Schachter showed me a book about someone did research into the historical sources of Hilchos Nida from Hasidei Ashkenaz, which ones made it, which ones said it's a very interesting topic. Forgotten the name of the book. But the fact is that a woman during her flow, the minhag was she didn't go to shul. Minhag used to be. Some people still have a minhag that a woman, during her flow, doesn't go to a cemetery, no? But if she's not during her flow, during Shiva Nekiyim, so then that minhag no longer applied. She would go to the cemetery if it's not during her flow. So it could be that a woman would do her hefsek tahara early in order to allow her to go to the cemetery, in order to allow her to go to shul. That's one possibility. Another possibility is a Teres HaShlomim's case, like this. Maybe the Keteres HaShlomim. Let's say a woman knows that she is Osekes Biksanim. She works in the Shlachtais. And there's going to be blood around her all the time. The first 3 days of Shiva Nekiyim, we do not tola any Ksanim. Right? So you can't say, oh, the first 3 days, the blood is attributable to some outside source, to the Shlita. And we don't do that the first 3 days. So Zok the Teres HaShlomim, maybe she knows I have a few days off now, right? So I'm going to do my Hefsek Tahara early, and then I'll start my Shiva Nekiyim after those first 3 days are up, and then I can be Toyim on my Ksumim on the first 3 days of my real Shiva Nekiyim. You understand what I'm saying? During the first 3 days, I'm not Toyim Ksumim. The reason for that is because since my Yoga is Pasuach for 3 days after the Hefsek, so we won't be told any Ksumim. But if I did an early Hefsek Tahara, so I know it's now my Yonah Sussum, so I could be Tolik Sunim the first 3 days of my real Shiva Nekiyim. That's another option. That's a Chiddush that the Chazon Ish says. By the way, generally we discourage this. We don't usually encourage people to do a Hefsek right before Shiva Nekiyim, right? However, in certain situations you can. The big issue that comes up, I plan on doing much more today, but we didn't get there. The big issue that comes up is as follows. Let's say a woman, during Shiva Nekiyim, the case that happens, I don't know, all the time, most of the shilas that I get are what? A woman during Shiva Nikiyam does a bedika, then she finds some dam on that eight bedika. Does she need to do a moich dochok afterwards? Is that like a re'iyah of yom echad? Again, does she need to do a moich dochok me ikar hadin afterwards?
What? Maybe
she's sozer, she's starting again? Yeah, she's sozer. Right? A woman was in middle day three, middle of Shiva Nikiyam, she has a shayla. It's a problem. It's a problem. It's red. It's a problem. She has to start again. So the din is she needs to have siktahara, of course. Does she need moich dochok? Well, yeah, you always should have moich dochok as a chumrah. But is the moich dochok required me ikar hadin? In other words, do I assume that b'di'evan, that the bedika done in the morning will not help? That you even b'di'evan, according to the Rambam, you have to do bedika in the afternoon. And by the way, I should point out the Vilna Gaon and the Sidrei Tahara and the Chavastas all argue in the Rambam. The Rambam says in Sif Beis that when you need a that b'di'evan some of b'ein hashmashos, but not in the morning. Right? The Chavastas and Sidrei Tahara, and who was the third person I mentioned?
Gruh.
And the Gruh, thank you. They all say that even b'di'evan you need a moich dochok if it's a one-day flow. Well, what about a aid bedika? Does that count as a one-day flow? A dirty, unclean, tummy aid. Does that count as a one-day flow or not?
Machlokes
is a willigan. Machlokes is a willigan
who?
Oh, so Rabbi Forst learns like you. Rabbi Forst wants to say as follows. He says, if you look in the Sidrei Tahara on the Shach, when the Shach distinguishes between the Kesem and the Re'i of Yom Echad, the Sidrei Tahara says, because the Kesem is the Rabbanon, and Re'i of Yom Echad is the Iraisa. And by your Doiraisa, if it's a one-day Doiraisa, then you need a Bedika, even Ma'akev, you need a Bedika after Mincha Ketana. And then the Hefsek Tahara, and according to Chavastas, the Hefsek Tahara is even Ma'akev. The Moch Dochok is even Ma'akev, right? Let's go again. The difference between a Kesem that does not need Moch Dochok, even if it's a one-day Kesem, and a flow that does need Moch Dochok, if it's a one-day flow, says the Sidrei Tahara is Doiraisa versus Derabbanan. Therefore, says Rabbi Forst, since the consensus of Poskim is that... since the consensus of Poskim is that an aid bedika is considered a Doiraisa, so therefore a woman who finds a bedika that's tamei during Shiva Nikiyam requires a Hefsek Tahara L'chol HaPachos after Mincha Ketana, and according to many, right, even La'akev, she requires a Moch Dochok. This is Rabbi Forst, page 166, note 43. A few pages later, in note 52, Rabbi Forst begins to become a little uncertain about this. He says, you know what? If the bedika that was Tameh is, let's say, on day one of Shiva Nikiyam, so maybe I could say that this bedika is not a new ma'ayona pasuach. It's just an extension of what we had beforehand. Remember, the whole reason why I need moich dochok me'ikar hadin is because I assume it's ma'ayona pasuach now. Right? One day flow, definitely ma'ayona pasuach. So you need a moich dochok. In this case, it's not ma'ayona pasuach anymore. It used to be ma'ayona pasuach, and maybe, right, the flow...
The
Hefsek
Tahara destroys the
Chazaka. The Hefsek Tahara destroys the Chazaka, but maybe, says Rabbi Forst, the fact that I had a Bedikas Yom Rishon, that's Temeya, that proves that my Hefsek Tahara maybe was shaky. Maybe that Hefsek wasn't so good, and maybe it still is my Yonah Pesuah. That's what he entertains in note 52. He goes about Yoshua saying this and others. Lemaisa, this is a Machlokes in Paiskin, no? Reb Shlomo Kluger in his Tshuvas assumes that a aid bedika that's tameh during Shiva Nikiyam requires a moch dochok me'ikar hadin. The Tshuvas of Maharash Engel, Chelek Vav Simen Mem Aleph, however, says that an aid bedika during Shiva Nikiyam that's a problem does not mandate a new moch dochok. The Cheshbin of Maharash Engel is since she only saw tipa achas, you can't say that it is mayona pasuach again. And he writes as follows: v'shuv tolin du rak tosefes mizman vesta harishoin v'shuv lo ma'akev b'dikas bein hashmashos kener l'fian yestaiti. That we attribute that since it was only one little drop, so obviously it's not new mayon pasuach. If the mayon is pasuach, we know what mayon pasuach looks like. It gushes. There's a ton of blood. This is not mayon pasuach. This is a very big discussion in poskim. Do you require when you do you require me ikker hadin? If I have a bedika, that's a problem. Do I require a moich dochok me ikker hadin? And maybe b'di'eved, I'll require that the b'dikah is done late in the day after mincha katana. This is a big discussion in the poskim. Maharash Engel is meikel, but Reb Shlomo Kluger is machmir. In the Lakewood Hilchos Nida book, Reb Forsheimer, the posik of Lakewood is machmir in this shayla. There's a sefer called the Mishnah Brura in Hilchos Nida. In note 37. Rabbi Willig always says that he was like put in Chayrin because he called the Sefer Mishnah Brura or something. He has like a Mishnah Brura and the Bir Halacha and the Shaar Tzion. Looks much like a Mishnah Brura. I have it by my Mokum now in the Beis Medrash. So he's a Satmarfel. He's supposed to be like the biggest book in Hilchos Nida alive. He's supposed to be amazing. But no one uses his book. So, but the Mishnah Brura in Hilchos Nida basically is Mekon on this Shaila because he says, my Rashen goes Mekon Svaran Osenes, that it's not my Yonah Pasuach again. We haven't really completed these topics. We'll have to do some more work on it on Wednesday, but this is just... What? Halacha l'maisa, I thought their grounds to be meikel. I haven't spoken to Rav Shechter and Rabbi Willig yet to find out what they say. Maybe we'll try to do that before Wednesday. Or if anyone else wants to help me, and ask them. Yeah.
The question was, if you have a problem like 5, 8, 5, which you do multiple.
If I have a problematic bedika, do I require mochtochak me ikar hadin, or is the mochtochak only a chumrah? And the nafkaminas are huge.
Thank you.